Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Greetings here from a wet and windy Melbourne, Australia. Very fun podcast coming up with Ursula Carlson, a South African raised comedian, but kind of came through the ranks of the New Zealand comedy scene and very quickly has established herself as one of the great comics of the Southern Hemisphere. I think soon to be the world. So funny. So interesting. Don't want to say too much because we talk about quite a lot on the podcast, but in my opinion, one of the funnier podcasts. What do we discuss? We talk about being a larger woman in comedy, being a lesbian woman in comedy, being a same-sex couple raising children in the world, and it's a great chat. Ursula, one of my favorite people on the circuit. Always a laugh when we get together. Just an explosion of personality all the time, larger than life character. So I'm not going to talk as long as I normally do. Enjoy the chat. I have a few things to say at the end of the chat, so stick around for that, kind of like a request. And so in the meantime, enjoy my buddy Ursula Carlson. So most of my listeners are in Ireland, so
hello, Ireland.
Be very familiar with you.
Yeah.
But this is a good time to be chatting with you because I feel like you're kind of blown up in Australia.
Yeah, I do want to go and blow Ireland too.
You want to blow Ireland? Even though that's not really your bag. We haven't got to that yet.
No. I'm going to blow Ireland, mate.
Yeah, yeah. You heard it.
I'll go give it a go. Why not? You know, if it's a dark night for it.
Yeah, Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I've
no,
never,
but it's kind
I've
of an exciting
actually been
time.
There.
You're literally, you're kind of like, do you feel like this festival now, you've just like,
on the cusp. On the cusp of
you
something.
Feel on the cusp?
Yeah.
I feel like you're crossing it.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of, because I don't know where I'm going, so I still feel like I'm on the cusp, standing on it going, where is this going?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because you're just doing your stand-up and then you do the odd spot on TV shows, but somehow even just that alone has kind of turned it over.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's a market for it, and Melissa McCarthy and all those other fatties out there have proven it, that there's a market for a funny fatty, you know, where they go, yeah, we see all these hot people. I think it's magazines. Magazines have plowed the way for me to go, yeah, this bitch is not perfect, and we can see that, but she's still happy. So, and I think people are just like over it, you know, they go, as long as you can have a laugh, they'll listen to my shit.
Yeah, and do you think your physical appearance is kind of part of it? You think that's part of the package?
Yeah, I do. I think it's sort of, because it's not confrontational. It's not, you know, people are just like, oh, yeah, I'm like the fat auntie. You know, everyone's got that fat auntie at home where they go, she'll just talk shit in the kitchen, you know, maybe have a glass of wine too many.
Yeah.
I'm that auntie.
Right, you're the fat auntie. Yeah.
Because
it's funny, there's a comedian in New York and oh, God. He's been on this podcast, and I'm just having a bloody brain fart right
now. It is really early in the morning.
Yeah, I'm just having a brain fart. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He's a friend of mine. But he's large. And it's definitely like he has the audience won before he says a word, I feel.
Yeah, because people don't feel like there's, you know, I think if you have someone that's really attractive, it's almost like you look at them and you go, are they going to say anything because I'm not super attractive, you know?
Oh, you
or
think,
are they
yeah,
in that
you,
club?
Yeah, they're intimidated by that,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I find that all the time with audiences, you know?
I bet you did.
I find it hard to win them over. They're all going, wow, this guy is so hot.
Yeah, so sexy. We have nothing to relate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, because that's interesting because you'd feel on one level it's insulting to ask, but then on another level, you play to your strengths, right?
Yeah, totally. You have to. Like, if you have anything, because that's the first thing an audience sees is your physical appearance.
Right, yeah.
And you could say what you like, but we, everyone says don't judge a book by its cover, but that's all we've got
at the start.
Yeah, you don't rip a book open as soon as you see it. Like, you don't know what's on the inside of a person, so you kind of have to go with what's on the outside. And I mean, part of that is not just your size or whatever. If there's a smile attached to it, you go, all right,
an aura.
It's fat and happy, or it's hot and happy, or it's hot and fat and happy. As long as the happy factor's there.
But you don't, I mean, I always feel like just one or two of your jokes at the start are about being fat and the rest isn't.
Yeah, no, because I don't want to crap on about it. It's almost like I want them to know that I know it's okay. You know, like, it's almost like when someone
I know what you're thinking, guys.
Yeah. Girl. Like, say if you have a droopy eye, I feel you should say something, because people always go, like, if you're cross-eyed, they go, fuck, do they know? Like, you go, I am cross-eyed. So everyone go, okay, so they know, and it's, like, it's not a thing anymore.
I'm not in denial about it.
Yeah, yeah. We know. You know when you're cross-eyed. I wish someone that is cross-eyed could address that, because I'd never know if they know. I'm like, I'm looking at you. Are you? Like, I don't want to be rude, but where are you? Look at that.
Yeah, so by the way, for people, in case we get distracted, we're on the river here, the River Yarra in Melbourne. Beautiful Saturday morning.
Seagulls at our feet.
24. Yeah, the seagulls are here. Kindred spirits on the hunt for food.
They see me, they go, crumbs are going to fall out of that one.
Listen, we've seen this kind before. They're usually good.
I think they recognize me, actually.
So I'm sure you've been asked this before. It's kind of that's a helicopter. So... whatever, but I'm sure you've been asked this before, but, like, do you ever fear that you would lose the physicality of it if you say you lost weight? You know, like, do you feel reliant on
it? No, because I always say, I tease and I go, I can't lose any weight, I've got too much fat gear. But I don't, it's the same, like, because I'm a raging homosexual, I'm a Lesbitarian, and but I don't do a lot of gay gear, and I don't do a lot of fat gear. I just do a lot of observational stuff. So yeah, a lot of my observational stuff is from the viewpoint of a fat woman, but I can do it, you know, like, it'll still be observational from any point, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, so, I would never think that. I was just curious. Because I know in the early parts of my career, there were aspects of what I did that I thought, if I lose this, I'm fucked.
Yeah, I know. In the beginning, I used to think that.
Did?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I'd like, oh my God, I cannot lose any weight. But now I'm like, no.
It's just handy.
I can lose weight, but fuck, why would you? There's enough there's enough skinny lesbians on the circuit. I need my point of difference now.
Actually, I've never asked this question.
Yeah.
Isn't there a high percentage of lesbians amongst female comedians?
Yeah, there is. Because this is what I reckon, right? Every comic, because I always look for the common denominator. So every comic has something like... that has happened in the past, and I know it's the same as, like, people say don't look for something with gay people. There's no thing that happened in our past that made us gay, but I think for comics there is something in our past that made us comics,
right?
Yeah, so there's always one big thing or sort of something that would have led up, like a trauma almost. So with gay people, that's why there's a lot of gay comics, and I think Jewish comics, and you know, anyone with a point of difference, because you go through and you would have been bullied because of that.
Yeah, right.
So then you build up a defense mechanism, and some people's defense is anger, but others is humor.
Yeah, or some is angry humor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steve Hughes.
I rest my case. Thank you so much. But yeah, so then I think that just sort of spills over, and you go, I could take this shit on stage and get paid for it.
Yeah, and it makes sense, I guess, because if you're like an outsider to a degree, like, you know, if you're a lesbian growing up, you weren't sure, you felt ostracized, you know, it's a nice place to be able to express it, like,
on a
comedy stage.
And in a way, it's almost like you have the platform to say to people, it's normal, it's not that different to whatever the hell it is you go through in your relationship. All relationships are the same. And I think if you can sort of show that to people, go, I'm no different to you. And especially when you do observational humor, that's why I say, it's like, I still talk about, you know, it's just through the eyes of a fat lesbian now, you know, but it's all the same. We're all
yeah,
the
but
same,
I don't really. Even feel, like, I mean, I've seen you make jokes about being a lesbian, but... Yeah. Like it's so matter of fact now in a way. It's almost disappointing.
Yeah.
It's not groundbreaking.
I know.
I'm sorry, I'm not belittling the jokes, but what I mean is, isn't it great that it has become
It's a non-issue, yeah.
It's a non-issue, yeah.
Yeah, now I almost have to say to my audiences, look, I've been gay since before it was cool. Because everyone's giving it a go. I'm happy for our community, don't get me wrong.
Jason has a joke, apparently. I haven't seen it. He told me in his show about how there'll be a time where people will be like, he's heterosexual.
yeah. We have to come out to your parents. You're like,
I'm not gay.
I'm not gay. You're like, where the fuck did we go wrong? Why do you hate us?
We thought you were progressive.
Is it because we put you in pants this one time? Looking at each other. He sniffed Old Spice when he was little.
But here's the interesting thing in terms of, you know, being lesbian is totally normal. You're the first person on my podcast, and you're actually the first same-sex couple with children that I know personally. I mean, I know people from a distance.
Yeah.
But you're the first that I know personally. You're the first family that I've seen kind of growing up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and
That's newer.
Yeah, I met you years ago, actually. I don't even think you know this. We did a...
In New Zealand.
My first television gig was with you.
Yeah.
On that Christmas...
That Christmas thing in New Zealand. Yeah. In the Sky City.
Yeah, so that was my very first... I was in comedy maybe 6 months at that point. But
really?
Yeah.
You were good when you started, though.
Oh, thanks, man.
You were ready to rock.
Yeah, well, I was older, too. So I had all of that shit in the tank.
I feel like you were... Yeah, you were like...
I was primed.
You were pre-cooked. You just needed to be chucked in the microwave ready to pop.
Yeah. But, so I met my wife at my second gig, or just before my second gig, and we've been together ever since, which is...
Oh, so you guys had just met at that stage?
Yeah. And now we've got two kids, almost 4-year-old and a 7-month-old boy.
Yeah, so do you find yourself doing just like normal parenting gear when you're on stage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because sometimes I'll do the gear. Even last night, I talked about being a parent and the stuff you go through. And at the end, I have to go because my wife, and the audience went, huh.
Oh, really?
And I realized I never told them.
Oh, you hadn't said
that? Yeah. So they were, because the minute you go, you've got kids and everything, people are like, oh, yeah. And
one
you
of us. Sort of,
yeah. And then when you start talking about your wife, because then they go, how the fuck does that work? You know, they try and process.
But that's interesting because that is still, like we talk about, you do your lesbian jokes, it's so normal, but it's not as. People still don't know how to process that.
Yeah, the breeding thing is a big thing. Like people, I always say to people, they're happy for gay people now. That's normal. Like that's not an issue anymore. But then the minute we start breeding, they go, oh no, you can be together, but don't add kids into the mix. That's weird. Like how does that work?
Yeah, it's still, I think that's still weird for people in their minds.
Yeah. So it's a big adjustment for them and you kind of have to explain it to them a little bit.
But what about in everyday life? Like in other words, like, do you guys go about your daily business like totally normal, or do you sometimes get the look or the?
I think we do, but I'm too thick to pick up on it.
Oh right,
I really don't give a shit.
Like down the playground and shit.
Yeah, but also there's a lot more parents even at school. When you go to school, there's a lot more kids with, especially our kids' age in kindy. You know, with just starting creche and that, and that have two dads or two mums. You know. Yeah.
So that's becoming more normal.
Yeah. So now it's like, it's just part of the, it's almost like in the 80s when mixed race couples started being a thing and everyone's like, oh, there's a, what's happening? And now it's like.
Yeah, it's getting normal.
Yeah. It's like, it's not even a thing.
Yeah. It's funny. So many dads fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of a dad not being around scenario over here myself. And so many dads fuck off. I think like having two moms is great because there's twice less of a chance that somebody's going to fuck off. They're both going to stick around.
Yeah.
Like two maternal energies. It's like, wow, these ones, I'm fucking stuck with these no matter what.
Yeah. Oh my God. And we will smother the snot out of it with hugs.
I know,
and
too much love.
Yeah.
Man.
Sometimes my daughter goes, I can sense, like, she's almost 4, but she's not at that can you get the fuck off me stage yet, but it's getting there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's like, I leave her and then my wife kind of grabs her.
Competing for hugs.
Yeah.
A little hug competition. Yeah. Who loves you more?
Yeah, because he's 7 months old, is that he bites us at the, because he's teething, so he just eats everything. So we, you know, try and keep him at an arm's length with a piece of toy in his mouth.
So here comes all my, like, my my probing questions, some of which are probably inappropriate.
I'll tell you if it's inappropriate.
Yeah. Go so like, it. How does the conversation start with your wife about who's doing what in terms of having the kid and all that?
A lot of people ask that. That's a good question. Because they go, how do you decide?
Yeah.
Well, for us, it was easy. She's 2 years younger. And it's easy for her to give up her job.
Right. Okay.
So she just quit her job, and because I earn more, so I'm basically the dad.
So
I just carried on with
comedy. Traditional gender roles,
yeah.
You're basically the dad.
Because I'm the high earner. I'm bringing home the bacon. She's every now and
you
again.
You wear the pants.
Yeah.
Which is not a necessary expression because you were wearing pants already.
Yeah. I'll tell you about who wears a strap on. But. But yeah, so then we go, okay, you have the kid, and then she had the first one, and then we were going to do where we said, okay, we'll do take my eggs before we had the first one.
Oh, right.
So we said she'll be the surrogate, but with my eggs for the second one. But then once we had the first one, I said, you know, honestly, I don't think I could love a kid more if it was my biology or yours. I couldn't give a shit. And we already nailed the first one. She's good. Let's use the same recipe for the second one.
Yeah, let's not fuck it up with my weird shit.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, my family's got some fuck numbers in there.
Yeah, like it's like let's keep the comedian genes out of it. They tend to be fucked up.
Oh yeah. Preach, brother. I was like, I looked at my family and went, "Nah, fuck. Let's stick with yours, eh?"
But hey, how fucked up would that be if like. You had the second one, or it was your eggs, and that one ended up being fucked up. Because then, 15 years' time, they'd be like, it was your fucking eggs.
Yes.
We could have fucking had it the same as the first one.
Yeah.
Now we're stuck with this shit.
Yeah, and because I'm darker than her. Like, I've got darker, you know, everything. I'm brown hair, brown eyes, and she's quite light, you know, blonde, blue eye, the whole thing. And so the first kid is quite light. So it's like, if I have a second one, and it's this dark little number, and you can tell. People wouldn't even have to ask. They just go, oh, that's yours.
Yeah,
that's her. Yeah. It would be too much of a... So we thought, no, if we stick with the same recipe, then there's no... Because, you know, when kids become teenagers, they always... There's always something, you know. It's like, well, you never let me have a go-kart, and that's why I drink, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
that's
there's
the
always
thing.
Something. So you don't want to give kids any fucking excuse.
But then, so when... What is the sort of general consensus on when you have the conversation with your kid about how it all went down? Or
We've decided to go for the full disclosure because my mum was adopted.
Right, okay.
So she knew from the get-go, like it was never even, she can't even remember when she found out she was adopted. She just always knew. And she always knew who her biological parents were. She was lucky. And
she always knew?
She always knew, yeah. The people that adopted her... found out who it was,
right.
And they always like so in the 50s to sort of almost have an open adoption was just unheard of.
I mean, they used to kill the records.
I know, but they actually found out who it was and made sure they stay in contact, so it was quite, you know, a normal thing. So and she didn't have any hang-ups because of it. She just knew that her biological parents couldn't take care of her. But they still loved her. She still saw them. And then, you know. So she knows. Our kid knows.
Oh, knows already.
Yeah, she already knows. We already told her. So it's because of him. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have you. Because it's a good friend of ours.
So sorry. She knows about her dad.
The donor, yeah.
The donor. Sorry,
yeah.
I don't say her dad. Her donor.
No, yeah.
So, but is there any relationship there?
No, well, it's the same because he's a good friend, so he's still a good friend. That hasn't changed.
And that remains.
And yeah, nothing has changed. It's been really good. And he visits.
You didn't elevate his position?
No.
And he doesn't.
I mean, we are closer, I think, because once there's a kid, it's like, but it's still the same. You know, he's a really close friend. We love him a lot.
Yeah.
And he still comes over and visits.
And he doesn't have increased responsibilities?
None.
Right.
No.
But people can make different decisions on that, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Totally.
You just
need to agree on all of that shit before there's an actual human being.
Do you have a contract or is it just a handshake?
No, with the first one, we had a contract. We went through a lawyer, but then it worked so well that we didn't bother with the second one. Plus, New Zealand law says that if you're not actually involved in making of the child, then you're not the parent. So he's legally not the parent. I'm on the birth certificate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great that you can do that. You can put it on the birth certificate.
Yeah, I think New Zealand's one of the few countries where you can do that. It doesn't say mum, dad. It says parent one, parent two.
Oh, New Zealand's so progressive,
man. It's amazing. So good.
Yeah, because I looked into it. I mean, we've joked before, we can talk about it, but on the serious side of it, my cousin was saying to me, like, oh, you know, there's a website for, like, lesbian couples looking for donors, and there's like, any rainbow coalition of desires like, we don't even want to know who you are, basically, like, you know, just your traits, to, like, we want somebody who feels 30%.
Yeah.
Responsible.
Who, like, feels comfortable being involved. Yeah.
Increased babysitting. And we want our daughter to know her father, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, so I always, whenever I think of having a kid, I want to have a daughter. It's so funny. It's I always say daughter.
Yeah, it's weird how your brain just goes, daddy's girl, daddy's girl.
Yeah, I want a daughter, man. But,
I think it's the universe going, you know, you have fucked with so many daughters in the world. Now we're going to give you your own, so no one dares goes.
I know, yeah.
It's karma.
Now you know what the fuck you did, you bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's so for you guys it was easy because you were like, friend, no problem. You didn't have to do too much thinking about it.
No, and it was weird, like, the way we decided, because we were starting to talk about, okay, we're getting older, we need to get a move on, and then we go, who shall we, like, who do you even ask, how do you go about it? And then I go, I don't think we can ask our friends because they're all fucked. The only one we would even consider is this guy. And then we went out, and like, a couple of weeks later, I'd completely even forgotten about the conversation, and we were just out at a party, and he came up to me, and we were the only two not drinking, and he goes, hey, you know, I was spoken to my wife, and we said that if you guys ever want a donor, I'll be happy to put my hand up.
Wow, so he came to you?
He came to me.
Even like though you'd already thought later. About him?
Yeah, when we had the conversation. And I was like, are you shitting me? And he goes, no, we had the conversation, and weirdly, she had donated an egg to another couple that couldn't have a kid.
Wow.
But we didn't know that. Like, but we knew the baby.
The baby-creating couple.
Yeah, because like, they've got their own kids. They're not, you know, so they know what it's involved with kids.
Oh, wow. So very charitable with their...
Yeah, with their with bits. Yeah, they're like, just, let's just sow. That's like literally sowing your seed everywhere.
Yeah.
So then I said to him, I'm going to call you in the morning, and we're going to, there's a dick sweat patch on this guy's shirt.
Oh yeah, wow, that's amazing. Really, he literally got like a sack
full
a sack and a dick on his the front of his thing.
Yeah. Okay, but then I called him the next day. We had a sit down, all of us, and we chatted, and I said, we should have like a trial run, see if it works, you know, or just sort of the how the trial run will work, and then when I get back from tour we'll give it a good go. And then she took with a trial run.
Really?
First go. It was really weird. Like,
so what happens? They fertilize it and then implant it, yeah?
Yeah. And then she just, boom, first time, took. It's unheard of, basically. But old Fertile Myrtle took. And then, we had 9 months to prepare for a baby.
Yeah. It was a little quicker than you thought.
Yeah. I thought we had at least 2 years. Because at the clinic, they go, it takes about 2 years for it to take. I'm like, oh, right. And then, fucking takes on the first.
Yeah, because how we were discussing it was, I was saying that, so my cousin in New York is a lesbian, and funnily enough, this was actually, she was in a previous relationship at the time. But I was saying, you know, if you guys ever want to have a kid, you know, I could be the donor to your partner, because then you'll have a genetic connection to the, I thought it was like a brilliant plan.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I can have whatever involvement you want, but at least I'll know exist.
Yeah.
Out there in the world, which possibly is selfish.
Yeah.
But then, you know, joking, it's like the ideal scenario. You can fuck off without doing something wrong.
Yeah, it is the perfect scenario, isn't it?
It's like I can be an absent father, but that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, but you have the great excuse. If a kid goes, you were never around, go, they didn't want me. They didn't want me around. And, you know, that was the agreement. You had two loving parents. So, yeah.
But then you seem to think that was a good idea, because I was thinking maybe people think that's crazy.
No, I thought, because I've got a brother and my wife's got a brother. So initially we were like, oh, your brother should donate to my egg and my brother will donate to your egg. And then biologically it's both of our kids, you know, sort of.
There's a genetic connection.
Yeah, like at least I'll look at that kid and go, oh, yeah, it looks like my family or
it's from your family.
You know, when there's blame to, because right now when our daughter's naughty, I go, it's your family. Your fault. You know, like, because, or she'll go, she's stubborn, she goes, she gets that from you, you know, whereas if she's a real shit, I go, does she?
Takes That's not my kid.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to play the biology card, but I was going to come out and say it. But, yeah, so, but then we realized both our brothers have issues and don't really want to breed with them.
Yeah, that'll be my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby guaranteed alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, now, I reckon in 18 years or so, when that kid goes through it, there'll just be a pull that goes, stop being an asshole pull. And you can just take it.
Oh, yeah, by then, it'll just, it's like, good personality pill. Yeah. Who do you want to be?
It's an app. You can just download the app into yourself and go, you're going to stop being a dickhead today.
Oh, yeah, I guess that'll happen.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, so you didn't try out that material we accidentally happened upon?
No, I didn't, but I want to. I was going to do it yesterday, but the MC was so shit house that I had to go with Tried and Tested to fix the audience.
Yeah, because when we were discussing this thing, you said, don't worry about that. You said to me, you'd be a good donor, you know?
Yeah.
Tall, athletic.
Yeah, handsome.
And then I was like,
good hair.
I was like, wow, lesbians get pretty shallow when it comes to.
Yeah.
Lesbians get pretty shallow when it comes to donation.
Yeah, we could train the personality out the kid, but the looks, you don't want to go for an ugly guy. Like, if an ugly guy offers to donate, you're like, fuck, we really want sperm, but we don't want a hideous baby. Like, you don't want to, whenever people go, who is this child's parents? You don't want to go, I'm here. Like, you don't want to be ashamed of the kid.
So do you think people are a bit shallow with their choice? I mean, shallow is the wrong word.
Look, when you marry someone or when you breed with him, like, you don't go out to a club and then see this hideous guy and you know, or unattractive. I shouldn't say hideous. That makes me sound fucking shallow. But, and then, you know, I think you're just attracted to people that genetically and in your, you know, the back, you want to procreate with.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you don't go out when you have the option to shop around for sperm. If there's a tall, handsome dude, as opposed next to a, you know, short, fat, you go, oh, we're just going to go for the handsome guy. No offense, short, fat guy, but I've already got the short and fat. We want some good shit.
We
want to make a primo kid, you know. You want to give your kid the best in life, and that includes the good sperm, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But it never gets as bad as, like, looking at their background in terms of, like, what kind of cancer history they have and all that. You didn't get into that, did you?
No, we didn't. No. I mean, we went for heart disease.
Now you're going, fuck, we should have done.
Yeah. Although, if we ever want a third child, you know, we did the, you know, is there any heart disease or mental illness in your family? But, you know.
People are going to lie anyway.
Yeah, and also, it's like, I guess if you go through a clinic, but when you're friends with someone, you go, I could tolerate having a little person with your personality traits because we're already friends. I already like
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
it's bloody ridiculous.
That's good enough. You don't know. You could have a one-night stand and get pregnant. You don't know shit about that person.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have the privilege of going, do you have heart disease in
your
family?
Then the kid comes out and it's a great kid. And, you know, it's the wonder of it all.
You play the cards you dealt, you know? So
now you're a modern parent.
Yeah.
And you're raising your child in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
You're from South Africa. A lot of my show at the moment is very much about the way we were raised versus the way my nephews are being raised. For you, it's like a double thing because it's a cultural difference as well as this generational difference.
Yeah.
Is it blowing your mind?
It is.
The different childhood that your child is having, your children are having, I should
say? Oh, yeah, it is. And it's like, I look at my kids now and I'm like, there's, number one, a lot more pressure on parents, which I don't understand.
Yeah, but it definitely is.
Yeah. But now everyone's like, you know, parents are just on their devices. There's a big thing now how mums are just on their smartphones, right? You see them at the parks, they're on their smartphone. They're taking a million photos of their kid on the swing. And then they go, you know, and she's on her phone. She's not paying any attention. But then on the flip side, you go, oh, when I was growing up, my mum never even knew where we were. We just knew to be home for dinner.
Exactly.
Okay, so who's the worst mum? The one that doesn't even know where the fuck you are, or the one that's taking 50 billion photos of you
on
the smartphone?
Actually, I think both are good. And I think it's crazy that people feel the need to make that comment. Like, I think that is a little bit problematic in the modern day, that there's this sort of like perfect mum competition pressure.
Yeah.
Oh. Whereas, you know, 99% of the time your kid is...
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Safe.
Yes.
And to fear that 1%, you fucking people are going to drive themselves mad.
Yeah, and it's like now you're becoming a helicopter parent, you know, and I don't, we don't helicopter parent. Like I...
So helicopter parent is what, like hovering over them
all the time?
Just hover
over your kid the whole time. Come here, Timmy. Come back to mommy. Don't talk to those people. It's like you just have to let them go. And, you know, if there's a kid taking a shot at your kid at the park, it's a fair fight. They're both four or three or whatever, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, but you can't. That's hard to say nowadays.
I know.
But we navigated all that ourselves. And we yeah. went to our parents sometimes that he did this, he did that, yeah. and they adjudicated.
Yeah, or they'll
but
go,
now
go sort
like,
it out.
Now it's like, because I only have nephews, I don't have kids, but, like, I've seen scenarios where it's, like, a big thing of, like, I heard you hit this kid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, guys, this is not that serious.
No. Like, we're not talking MMA. Like, they didn't set up a cage and fucking went hammer and tongs and the kid came back with no tongue.
Yeah,
like, he
they
pushed
were juicing.
Yeah.
You know, did a range of steroids before the fight.
Yeah. He's just grinding his face off. No, I mean, holy hell, just calm down. That's why I think a lot of parents need to calm down. And, I mean, you know, like... In South Africa, the upbringing I got was a very hands-on. Like, you got a smack if you needed it, you know. And everyone in the neighborhood knew your parents, and they could give you a smack if you were out of line.
Oh, is that
and,
right?
Yeah. Then that night, you know, if the phone rings, you're like, oh, shit, it's that lady that gave me a smack today, ringing my mum to say, had to give your kid a smack to get today. So now my mum doesn't go to the lady, don't you ever put a hand on my kid again. No, my mum storms into the lounge and go, why was it necessary for her to give you a smack? And then she gives me a smack too. It's like, we would double up. Whereas now you're like, don't put your hands on my child. Although now, if anyone touches my kid, I'll kill him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's a weird thing because it was very normal in our time. And
yeah.
Like, I would never, I mean, I can be critical of my mother, but for the hitting, no.
Yeah.
And I'm not an advocate for hitting kids, but I just, in my show, I say there's like an arrogance to modern parenting, like now is the way and before was bad, but now is just the current way.
Yeah.
We will figure what the fuck we're doing wrong.
In 20 years, we're going to be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you know. We're going to look back. What do you think we'll look back on now and go, oh, what were we thinking?
Mm. Yeah,
I think smothering, maybe.
Yeah, that. And I think, okay, this is my theory. I reckon in 20 years from now, cell phones will be the cigarettes was Ooh. To the 80s. People are going to go, can you believe? You like, you'll look into someone's car and you'll see them on the cell phone. And you go, I can't believe people still cell phone. I just can't believe it. And in the car with the kids. You know, whereas now, like, all kids have a phone, all kids are online. And I honestly, I think in 20, 30 years from now, people are going to go, oh, yeah, there's a whole generation with no hands because they all got hand cancer from the phone.
Okay. I could see the review of this podcast. They found great delight in hand cancer. How disgusting are these two
yeah.
people?
It's all right. I'm a cancer survivor. So are you.
Are you? Are you?
Yeah.
What was your
kidney?
Oh, that's real cancer survivor. Yeah. Mine's nothing.
Yeah, no, but mine, I always say, because they found mine and they took it out the same week. They removed my kidney and my adrenal glands and everything in the same week. And then they removed everything. So it was out before I even knew it. Like, I was...
Oh, same with me, but mine was just my ball. It's kind of half outside your body already.
Yeah.
So it's not as invasive. Even though emotionally it feels more invasive, but actually it's nothing.
Yeah, like yours is now, it's more a long-lasting physical thing because you can see it, you know,
it's
nothing.
You can't see it, that's the thing. Oh, you have to feel it.
Oh, okay.
But I really have no interest in my balls anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never been my bag.
It's not the most attractive part of your body.
Yeah.
But with me, it's because it's on the inside, I'm not even aware that it's not there. It's not even a thing, except for that all my other organs have moved a little bit. But that's because it's that gaping hole now, so everything has moved. So when I got another op a few years ago, they had to do a scan while they were operating because it's keyhole, so everything else had moved, and it wasn't like my gallbladder wasn't where they thought it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it didn't settle back in the right spot?
No, it went in different spots.
Yeah, because that's big surgery, no?
Yeah, because I now, if you lose a kidney, they can do it keyhole. They sort of laser it up and suck it out. Whereas back in the day when I had mine, they cut you from your belly button right around.
Oh, so you have the big scar?
I have the big scar, yeah. So it's like, it looks like I was in a sword fight and I lost.
How old are you?
Yeah, there can only be one.
Well, at least you have that for your kids now. You'd be like, when I was growing up, this was when I was bad.
Yeah. No, I use it as gear. I was cut out of a hula hoop as a child. Got a scar to prove.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about South Africa because I can imagine that you're just fucking bored to the teeth of talking about South Africa.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah.
But just in terms of, you know, New Zealand and South Africa, similar in the sense that they're like, you know, colonies, you know, like these places that, you know, changed. But New Zealand is so progressive.
Yeah.
And you left South Africa, which is just a different scenario altogether.
Yeah.
Like,
weirdly, we got gay marriage in South Africa like 10 years before they got it in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah, because when they dropped apartheid, they went, okay, we're going to go, everyone's equal, everyone's the same. So we got equal rights for all people, which included marriage equality.
Oh, really?
Which, weirdly, they changed the law, but it's still not okay to be gay.
Because I was going to say, I would have thought in Africa, it's the least gay tolerant place.
There's so many places that I, because Mozambique, Zimbabwe,
Uganda
everywhere
has bad laws.
Yeah, you just sort of shut your mouth, you know.
Yeah, you just don't.
Yeah, don't say anything about it. Like if anyone asks you, it's my friend, you know.
Yeah, it's still like that.
My sister, but I really love her. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of a much better place to be.
Yeah, but then New Zealand, you go there and it's all, you know, even small things like there's not a lot of smokers. You know, like I walk around in Melbourne, everyone smokes, and you're like, oh, this is so weird. It's like when you walk around in Auckland, there's not a lot of people that smoke on the street. It's almost weird when you're in a restaurant where you sit outside and people light up a smoke. It would have been like seeing an owl fuck a pit bull. Like, it's that weird. You're like, what are you doing? You
know? Yeah, because that was basically my question was, do you sometimes miss a bit of the madness of growing up in a dysfunctional place?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, actually. And I want my family to see. I want my wife and my kids to see. This is how mental, you know. But it's sort of, it's lovely chaos, you know, because the people are so great in Africa. So I do miss that because it's so calm, you know. Everything's vanilla. And vanilla is safe, and that's great. You know, it's great to raise your kids in a vanilla bowl, but sometimes you just want all of that crazy sprinkle on it, you know.
Yes.
You want the popping candy on top of it. You want the unexpected. Well, I'm going back. I'm going back to South Africa this year just for a
visit. Are you bringing the fam?
Yeah, for a few weeks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And do you still do shows there?
I've never done a show in South Africa. So I'm going to
go.
Ever. Because I started doing it in New Zealand. I've never been back since.
Wow.
Since I started. So I want to go do a show there.
Because I think that's inspiring. Although I didn't find it straight away, but I've been back gigging in New York more lately, and eventually the New Yorkness of my life started to find some material out of it. But I think maybe for you it might be more immediate, but it could be, creatively it can be great to go back.
Yeah, but because it's the same everywhere, I guess. Once you immigrate, and especially because you leave Africa, and they go, Africa's in your blood, and then you leave, and they go, you left us when we need you. We need you to help us fix it.
Oh, right.
So they don't look at immigrants and go, you did the right thing for your family. They look at immigrants and go, you betrayed us, you asshole. So it's not a positive when you go back and you go, I left you guys. I live in New Zealand now. They go fuck yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why did you fuck off back there then?
Yeah, but on the flip side, you'll be able to talk about shit that you've never been able to talk about on stage.
True. Yeah.
Which can be nice.
Yeah, because I've done a few Afrikaans shows where I talk about, you know, two immigrants in Melbourne. I've done one in Perth and then a few in New Zealand. And it's been really nice. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. So you have had the experience of talking about
home. Yeah, because I do Afrikaans shows. But it's different because you do it to immigrants, you know, and you go, this is what we go through when we immigrate. But
yes,
when
I know.
Go
yeah,
back
so I've done
there,
that.
Then I kinda
I've
have
done
to
that the Irish abroad, and then that's like a unique experience. Yeah.
So now I have to go back and go, this is what it's like to leave you and how much I miss you guys.
So when you do shows in Afrikaans, is that a tough language to translate your stuff into? Or?
No, it's actually a lot easier for me because it's my first language.
Oh, Afrikaans is your first language?
Yeah. So it's like all my thoughts.
Do you find people judge you the minute you say that?
No. No.
No, they don't go like, oh, no. I didn't know you were one of them.
Yeah, no. No, I sometimes it depends on the scenario, but never in comedy. Sometimes when it's like a school event or, you know, if I go, oh no, Afrikaans is my first language, you get that, really?
Oh, you're one of them.
Yeah, racist.
Like you have a swastika on your fucking arm.
Yeah, that is exactly it. You know, okay. My dad's name's Adolf. it's not his name's Ben and he's dead.
Oh, that's great. Oh, thanks for cheering. Thanks for
cheering.
Oh,
no, he was an asshole.
Oh, really? Is that why you get... No, I'm just kidding. My dad was an asshole.
That's why I'm gay.
That was your trauma.
That was literally. My father-in-law, he goes... When we said we're going to have kids, right? He goes, who's the dad? I go, there's no dad. There's just two mums. And he goes, well, if there's no dad, this kid's fucked. I go, well, I didn't have a dad growing up and I'm fine. He goes... but that's why you're probably gay. I'm like, I don't want to point out the fact that I've been fucking your daughter for 10 years, but
also, was he a bit funny about it?
It was a bit weird till the kid arrived, and he's like, "Oh, this is great. This,
oh,
it's
really?
Weird how children can fix weirdness, you know? Because he just it took him a while to kind of get his head around it." But then once
but I guess
she's
sometimes
there.
You have a bit of sympathy for just how much of a switch it is in people's minds.
And especially, like, if you're that... I always say, because I've got a friend that's real homophobic, and all of my other friends go, why are you still friends with her? I go, she can't help it. It's like growing up colorblind. It's so in her grain. Like, it's going to take a generation for her to leave. And she's starting to see things, and you can see the switch, but she's so... Because she's... Orthodox Greek, you know, and it's just so in her culture and in her because she goes to the church every week and she can't help herself.
Yeah. So you're able to just see that she's a good person otherwise.
She's a great
Why
person.
Why would you just dismiss her because she has this little hang up?
Yeah. You know,
well, a little
she's,
hang up.
She's
no, hang
a little
up,
homophobic. Like, she doesn't think gay people should get married or have kids, which I always say to her, those are the two things, of course, we can't agree on, but we've been friends for more than 20 years. So, don't ever bring it up because it just fucks me off immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Puts you in a bad mood. Yeah.
Yeah. I go, but everything else we agree on politically, we have the same viewpoint on everything except for that.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but that's fine. I mean,
it's just religion, what it does to people's brains sometimes, you know?
Yeah. But then,
basically, they think it's wrong.
Yeah. She can't help it. Like, it's that in her. She goes, I can't see it. So I go, all right, well, that's your thing. But when she goes, I just can't cope with the whole gayness of it. I go, obviously you can. We've been friends for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
So eventually she's going to make that. I know.
What's the gayness?
I know.
What does she mean? She can't imagine your head down there?
Like, yeah, probably. I think secretly she's...
Yeah, maybe she's... Well, whatever. I mean, I don't want to make any judgments about her, but...
I do. I do want to make...
I can't imagine the gayness of it.
Yeah, it's too gay. Too gay. Okay, you'd love it.
Yeah, what's too gay?
Fucking repressed bitch.
So, I mean, those are the... Those are the main things I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, do you find because you have kind of a dirty enough sense of humor.
Mm.
Like, do you find you have more of a license for that because, you know, you're like lesbian comedian, female comedian, all these things that like you're more liberated, or is it just your personality? You just don't give a fuck?
I think it's my personality. I honestly don't care.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I'll look at an audience and I go, like, last night I did a gig to an older audience in a cabaret setting. And I looked at them and I thought, oh, fuck. I even said to them, I don't know if you're ready for me. But then I do start all slow. Like, I don't just lead with, you know. And then I think, is it that filthy? You know, I talk about what we all go through. I don't know if it's that filthy. I just go right for the jugular. I just, you know, I don't sugarcoat any shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact that for the last sort of whatever, 15, 20 years, like, there's people look down on, like, sexual material as if somehow it's less than other material.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really in the business of trying to bring filthy back because...
Good work.
No, because I think that what happened was people have misunderstood that, like, it's like misogynist sort of material about sex is the thing that they're talking about. But actually, like, sex, like marriage, like child rearing, like awkward situations you encounter in a shop, is great fodder for material.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
But for some people, just the minute it gets a bit dirty, quote unquote, which is a weird word to use for something like that we're all like love. Is that somebody you know?
No, you just
recognize
me.
Oh, you got some fans.
Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely older. They have, like, your dirty gear.
Oh, no, not him. The runner guy.
The runner?
Yeah, the jogger guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, fuck. They would pass out probably.
But, yeah, just, like, why would why is that less?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's but that's what I say. It's, like, they're so repressed. It's so in them not to talk about that stuff.
Yes.
I think it's good. I think it's our job as comedians to talk about stuff that other people find either uncomfortable, but that is still happening to all of us, to go, talk about it. Like, I talk about stuff in my show where I go, this is awkward. And I even say to them, I've just put us in a real awkward spot, haven't I? And then they start laughing where I talk about stuff that, you know, miscarriage or...
Oh, yeah.
I even talk about save your own life, go for a smear. I go, this is... while we're in this public service announcement, like, I put them in that weird bubble. I go, let's just stay in this for a little bit and let's talk about some more weird shit you don't want to talk about.
Well, a smear test is definitely worth talking about.
Oh, yeah. I go, save your own fucking life, you know. I talk to women that have never been for one. They're in their 60s. I go, you need to go. If you're fucking a dude, you need to go. You know, lesbians don't need to go
for a low percentage lesbians.
Yeah.
So, of HPV.
Yeah. I go, but you need to go. If you're a straight chick, go. You know, that's great.
Yeah, you guys are the least likely to have HIV.
Even my doctor goes, just come back in 10 years. But also because sperm rots inside you. It's disgusting.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
Sperm is disgusting.
Ah.
Oh. I don't know. What the fuck straight chicks are saying? There's a dog in the water now.
Do you think lesbians are more evolved?
Yeah.
We don't want any fucking sperm rotting inside us.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it better health-wise? So if there's a lady listening at home and you're not sure and you go, I wonder, just do it. Take the plunge. Mm.
That'd be funny if, like, you know, these lesbian advocacy groups, like, if all of a sudden there was ads, like, you know, like, so, like, anti-abortionists put, like, horrible pictures of fetuses. It'd be, like, pictures of, like, this is rotten sperm inside your vagina. This is what straight people deal with.
Come over to our side. The shoes are more comfortable.
sick of clamming up? Well, we've got new clamming for you. The lesbian society.
Let's open your clam.
Do you want a cleaner, more safe way to enjoy sex? Yeah. Lesbians have 75% less chance of having HPV. HPV is the main cause of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Do you want to not have cancer?
Make the healthy choice. Oh, my God.
There's a 85% increase in orgasm.
Yeah.
To be with somebody who understands how complicated your pussy is.
Who knows? There's more than one layer in there. Did you know sex can last for more than 30 minutes? That's right, ladies.
Everyone knows penetration is overrated.
Yeah, although we can accommodate that too.
Want to turn foreplay into the main play?
All day play. Oh my God, we should do advertising together.
Sick of him going for cereal the minute he's done.
Yeah. Be in a relationship with someone that likes vacuuming as much as you do. That understands a wet towel needs to be hung up and never pisses on your floor. I think think just
keep
those,
going, man. Don't stop.
I reckon just those two things are enough to make straight women go, you know what? Fuck it all. I will.
Yeah. I think I want to be in a lesbian relationship too.
Oh, man. That's the thing. My sister was, because she's married and she's got two boys. She goes, the amount of wet towels and piss we have in this house. I go, you need to combine it. Just use their towels to wipe up their piss. Stop with your problems. Have some solutions.
Oh, yeah. So she's basically saying that like a guy just like chucks it on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything goes on the floor.
And yeah. I mean, it's all a difference between men and women shit, but I wonder what the fuck that is. Is that conditioning? Is that the sort of men were looked after by their mothers? Or is that just some different genetic?
You know what? I honestly, even now, I look at it because we've got the almost 4-year-old's a girl and then the boy is the 7-month-old. And he is different. He's been different since the day he popped out of the womb. He eats different. He sleeps different. Even the way he sits in his buggy, like he just sits with his legs open, the arms out of the buggy. You can just tell he's gonna enjoy baking his balls in the sun one day. He's just that guy, you know? And when he eats too, he just slams the food in and he's like, where's more? You know, like she was all dainty and it's in us. It's in our biology.
It's in us. So you got to make him okay with being that.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be the challenge for you.
No. I would say the challenge for us, because we're both kind of into sport. We're those lesbians, you know, we're into sport. We like to throw balls and shit, go to the games. The challenge for us is to play princess with our daughter.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we've got the boys sus. We're happy with that. We can do boy.
Oh, so you're great. You don't want to just like enforce lesbianism on your daughter. She has to have an open choice like you guys have.
Yeah, because and that's another thing. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, like somebody said to us, another lesbian couple said to us, because she was dressed in all pink, like she had the Barbie shoes, pink pants, pink everything. And she goes, the other couple said to us, I can't believe you're enforcing that gender stereotype. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Her favorite color is pink. She loves this Barbie bullshit. Honestly, look at us. I would just put her in sports gear all day, every day.
She'd be ready for the roller derby. Fuck me. Who wants the roller derby, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'd have a tattoo on the inside of my arm in no fucking time. But that's not what she's into. She likes this fairy shit.
She gravitated towards the fairy shit. Oh, that's right, because I met her and she was like Elsa and...
Yeah. Oh, she's into that. I mean, I never in my life have gone through that phase at all. So you just know, and thank God they're straight.
I think they were giving you a hard time about the gender stereotype.
Yeah, that I would dare put her in pink. Like, go fuck yourself.
That's a Melbourne River cruise. Well, anyway, I've exhausted your... That's good material, though. Have you done that before?
Great. What? The pink stuff?
No. That ad that we were doing.
Oh, no. Should I?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could do like a good, we could have some good writing workshops, I reckon.
Yeah, man.
I think I can help lesbian comedians write jokes.
Yeah, you can help the gay community in so many ways. You can help with sperm. You should just put it out in buckets.
Eventually my sperm will be in 7-Eleven.
And next is a Slurpee machine.
Yeah, it's... lesbians want to have kids, you know, it's like, what do we go for today? We go for sporty? Random, funny, slightly repressed.
Yeah.
Well, that's it then.
Thank you.
I'll leave you
Thanks
to it.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to come do some shows in Ireland. We'll talk about
I actually wanted to talk about that with you. I was saying, like, when pick a time and I will personally take...
September.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm doing August.
Are you doing Edinburgh?
I'm doing Edinburgh, and then I've just locked in some dates at Soho in London, and then I want to come up and do some shows in Ireland. And I just reckon while I'm up there, I should do as much as I can, even if I spend an extra month.
Yeah, because I think you should do it, and I'd love to take on the task of trying to make it successful. We can do another podcast, and then I'll try to get you on a few things and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me know the dates and I'll see if I can find it. I'll find a promoter. I won't promote it myself, but I'll make sure that...
That'll be great.
Because you'd love it. The Irish crowds would love it.
Yeah.
And they need a bit of, like, fucking kick in your face.
Kick it in the dick.
Yeah, kick it in the dick material, you know? Yeah,
I'll be out for that.
Oh, by the way, what's a lesbian's preferred term for the vagina?
I don't know. Why does it say vagina? Or I say hoo-ha if I'm talking to my mum, because I think vagina hurts her heart.
If I really?
Yeah, my mum's sort of that. She used to call it my little lady growing up. No, but in Afrikaans, it's not as confronting as saying little lady. It's called vroukie. You go, my what? It's not as bad as my auntie. Because I've got the fat auntie that called it your bacon. Hey.
Bacon.
I'm like, fuck, I don't know what you're doing if it smells like bacon, but I'm into it. Not with my auntie. That was weird.
Your bacon?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah,
where'd you get the white sauce? Did you guys do white sauce, parsley sauce? I mean, it doesn't matter. But, Oh, yeah. Because I was just curious. Because I have a sort of the final section of my show is quite dirty. I talk a lot about like period sex and just all this stuff. It's very, yeah, very sex positive. Very, yeah, PC, actually. Yeah. Quite feminist. I've been accused of being a feminist by three different women on Snapchat going, I never knew you were a feminist. Fair play to you. It's like my filthiest material has turned me into a feminist. But anyway.
That's great.
I have a couple of more. Like I say vagina once, but like I never say pussy anymore. I feel like maybe pussy has gotten into,
yeah,
the,
I think pussy is sort of... I don't know. I think it's okay to talk, say pussy when you're dirty talking. But
yeah, when you're dirty talking.
Yeah, then you have to say pussy. You don't go, slam me in the vagina. Yeah,
suck my vagina.
Yeah, eat my vagina. I think it's just kind of the tone changes in the bedroom.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
calling your partner by their first name. It's weird. In bed? Don't you think that's weird?
Like in what sense?
No, you know how people go, say my name, or, you know, in movies or whatever, then they go, don't say the wrong person's name in bed or whatever, and you're like, why would you say your partner's name? Like if I say Julie, like it would be almost like an automated voice, like, eat my pussy, Julie. She go, what's wrong? It would be bizarre.
Yeah,
like,
very rare.
My name, like, come here, Ursula. Oh, what are you saying my full name? Are we doing this for TV?
I guess it's weird, yeah. I haven't heard my name that often in bed.
No. No, yeah. Speak to Jesus or something, but
you
don't
have to
say
know,
my
you
name.
Have to know the person's name to, yeah, say it.
Here we go. Come on.
What's your name
again? It's Tracy, asshole.
All right, come on. I'll stop yeah, drilling you for material now. Thank you. Thank you, Ursula.
Bye.
Thank you, Ursula.
You're welcome. Deez.
So thanks very much to Ursula. That was a tonic for me. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. Even listening back when I was editing, I found myself laughing out loud a lot. I think Ursula's mic was a little loud, like my fault. I had it turned up a little high, but my apologies for that. And so speaking of that, you know, I apologize at a couple of podcasts at the beginning because I hadn't put up posts as much. And I got to thinking, you know, part of the reason why I'm not as consistent as I would like is because it's just me doing this. And when I get busy, not that it becomes overwhelming, but I just don't have the time. So I don't have a sponsor, which is fine. I'm not in the hunt for a sponsor. But if there's anybody out there who's a student just finishing up in production or looking for some experience and you want to help out, maybe you could contact me via my Facebook, Snapchat, or Twitter, and perhaps we could start a conversation. Loads of people have said to me, oh, there'll be loads of people dying to help out. So if there's anybody out there with experience, really I'm talking about people that have, you know, perhaps some experience in production or have just studied production and are looking to get some experience. I'm not a jobs bridge or anything, but anyway, I think you get the vibe. So if anybody out there wants to chat to me about that, please do. We can start a conversation. Perhaps you could send me stuff you did in college, and perhaps we can see if we could start a working relationship. I mean, obviously, if there's a sponsor out there who wants to sponsor the podcast, by all means, that'd be great. But, you know, so far it hasn't been a great financial drain on my life, so that's not my number one priority. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Spread the word. There will be a good few more podcasts, hopefully David O'Doherty this week, while I'm here in Melbourne. And so get those likes up on iTunes and leave a review, please, if you don't mind. And go on my Snapchat is Des Buffer. My Twitter is at Des Bishop. My Instagram's Des Bishop. And my Facebook is facebook.com/Des Bishop. Tell everybody you know that the Des Bishop podcast is back updating regularly, and I do really appreciate the feedback, guys. So in any way you feel fit, please do send some feedback. And if, by the way, if people want to have a look at the Melbourne International Comedy Fest list and let me know who you'd really like me to try to chat to, I'll also gladly do that. So until then, have a great day, have a great week, and a great weekend, whatever comes first, and we'll chat to you soon. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.